Now, are they going back to the client and saying this, the quote we gave you was for 7 videos and now you want, you know, 300?
They are going to do that, and they'll pay it because they've got no choice. But it still doesn't help the schedule.
Right.
Like, I get absolutely nothing out of the more money that they fucking make, and it just blows.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How's things in good old Florida?
Right now they're stormy.
Is it as hot as up north?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes. I went to do some errands before our call, and it was like, do you ever preheat the oven and then stick your head in it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it's like.
Okay.
Ouch. That one was close. Somebody got a strike in heaven. Yeah, so it's.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We get these afternoon thunderstorms roughly about 3 o'clock every day.
Right.
And it sometimes helps cool it down.
Right.
But most of the time it just makes it more sweaty and gross and hot.
Yes, I remember several times being in Florida when it was like that, and like right after the rainstorm, the roads would like fog up.
Yes.
And like steam and stuff from just being so fucking hot and the sun coming back out. I talked to my dad yesterday, because they're in the middle of the heat wave, and I said, "So how warm is it?" And he was like, "It's 113 outside."
Holy shit. But it's dry heat.
Yeah. No, not in New Jersey, it's not. So he's like, "Yeah, I went out this morning. It was real disgusting, so I just decided to stay home." It's like, all right.
Wow.
As long as your air conditioner's keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But it was a big weekend in entertainment.
My God, it was. There's lots to talk about.
Yes. I don't really know how to tackle this other than going by what came out and what I'm most excited about.
Okay.
If you had to pick one announcement from San Diego Comic-Con this year that you're most excited about, which would it be?
It would probably be the Marvel slate of films coming up.
Okay.
I'm very interested to find out how they got Natalie Portman back.
So yeah,
cast her as a female Thor.
If you didn't see the announcement, they announced Thor 4: Love and Thunder. And in which, when they brought the actors up, they brought up Taika Waititi and Chris Hemsworth, and all of a sudden Natalie Portman appears, and they hand her Mjolnir, and they are going to be going by the comics where Jane Foster becomes Thor.
Right.
Or gets the power of Thor. It's based, I guess this is based on the comic book run called Thor, God of Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess would be, like, there was a bunch of speculation when she showed up on the red carpet of Endgame.
Yep.
And if you see the movie, she's actually in it, but they use like recycled footage from stuff that they shot for Thor that they didn't use.
Right, but she did some new ADR for it.
Right, so everybody was like, "Oh, okay." They backed up the money truck to her. My personal feeling about this is, name me the last Natalie Portman film that she did. off the top of your head without looking. Can you?
I could not tell you.
Okay. So I think her manager was like, they're calling you about Thor 4. It's instant recognition. They're going to pay you a shitload of money. Just fucking do it. And she probably said yes.
Wow.
I mean, she did say yes because she's in it.
Right.
So yeah, their slate of films is very interesting for Phase 4.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that they thought they'd announced that aren't happening until Phase 5.
Right.
But we are getting another Doctor Strange movie called Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
In which Doctor Strange and Wanda, Scarlet Witch, plays a huge role.
Right.
And this is coming after the WandaVision TV show on Disney+.
I was just going to say, then she's also got the TV show.
So one of the things that they made a point of saying at San Diego Comic-Con was that show will directly affect this movie. So
okay.
I can only imagine that, you know, they've hinted at multiverses. You've seen split realities, and now they're going to do a TV or a movie called Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're going to get Vision back. I think somehow Vision, like Wanda's going to end up traveling to a alternate reality where Thanos didn't show up.
Okay.
And somehow interact with Vision and maybe bring him back or get stuck or something and need Doctor Strange's help or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're running with the multiverse thing now, especially when it comes to Loki, which is another TV show that they announced, where they confirmed that the Loki in the TV show is the one from Endgame that picks up the Tesseract and disappears.
Right, yes.
So he's going to be not the Loki that everybody knows that had all the growth
right
between Thor Dark World and Infinity War. He is the Loki that just tried to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be kind of interesting.
Yep.
They also announced, which I thought was kind of interesting, at the Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yes, that looks very interesting to me, but I wonder if it's kind of a cash grab to get box office in Asia.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, like they tried to do with Transformers, the last Transformers, where it was like a co-production between...
Yes.
Yeah, so still interested to see it.
Because they actually did that in Iron Man 3. There is a different cut of the version. There's a different version of the movie that plays in China that has more to do with the doctor at the end, who's some famous Chinese actor.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think it's twofold. I think it's a cash grab for the Asian audience, but it's also to deal with the fallout of the people that hated Iron Man 3. Because of what they did with the Mandarin.
I was just going to say, that's the one with the Mandarin, because the Mandarin is going to be the big villain in this movie.
Yes, the real Mandarin. And there was a one-shot when Marvel used to do these short films about the fake Mandarin in prison.
Okay.
And he's being interviewed by this guy about being brought in to be the fake Mandarin and... his experience like that, and at the very end it turns out that the interviewer is part of the Ten Rings and captures the guy because the real Mandarin wants a word with him. Whoa. You alright?
It's okay. Yep.
So
roof's still on.
Okay, good. So yeah, I think whether or not they get Ben Kingsley back for a cameo remains to be seen, but
right.
Because it's interesting, because I don't remember if it was Iron Man 3 or the one shot. They make a point of saying that they altered this dude's face to look like the real Mandarin.
Okay.
So wouldn't the real Mandarin look like Ben Kingsley? then?
I don't know.
So it's kind of weird.
Because the actor they've cast as a Mandarin looks nothing like Ben Kingsley.
No.
So that'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yep.
Hmm.
Marvel also announced the Eternals.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that one. I'm not real familiar with it, and it's starring Angelina Jolie, so I'll probably skip that.
I'm interested only because I like when they tell stories outside of what you know.
Right.
Or what you're expecting. And the Eternals takes place thousands of years in the past.
Right.
And
it's based on Greek mythology to some extent.
Yeah. And it's got, like you said, Angelina Jolie, Richard Madden from Game of Thrones, who played Robb Stark. Selma Hayek is in it.
Yep.
And those are the only names that I recognize. But that could be really interesting as like a standalone type thing.
Sure.
I don't know how that they would tie that into everything else, but
mm-hmm. I think the one announcement that I'm really looking forward to mm-hmm. is the Disney Plus show that's called What If?
Okay.
Where it's basically this cosmic being, one of the Watchers, mm-hmm. who oversees the multiverse, and they'll bring out different versions of the stories we already know.
Right.
And for one thing, Hayley Atwell is already confirmed. And so I don't know if she's coming back as Agent Carter.
So this is an animated TV show.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay.
And one of the things that they had talked about with Hayley Atwell coming back, so her story is based on the idea that Agent Carter gets the super serum, the super soldier serum, instead of okay. Steve Rogers. Mm. And Steve Rogers, in turn, because of his character and his conviction, Howard Stark builds him a prototype Iron Man outfit.
Okay.
And so they've already said that Stanley Tucci will be back as the Doctor from Captain America. Hayley Atwell okay. will be in it, and Chris Evans has said that he would reprise Steve Rogers in that.
Sure, since he doesn't have to work out.
Right, and he doesn't have to be on screen. It's just his voice. Yep. He goes in for a day. But the list of people that they have for this, and now I'm trying to find where I saw it. Is this the one? I mean, it was pretty much like every major Marvel person was going to come back in
some
capacity for this show to tell these other stories, with the exception of like Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be really cool because it's based on a comic book series where they do just that of like,
yep.
like here's a whole bunch of alternate versions of this.
Right. DC has been doing that with a series they call Elseworlds.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. So that should be pretty interesting too. So yeah, Marvel's announcement kind of blew everybody out of the water. Which is why they were like one of the last things on Saturday.
Right.
Because who wants to go up against that shit?
Mm-hmm.
And while they were doing the presentation, it came out that Endgame had passed Avatar finally.
Yes.
So Endgame is now the highest grossing movie of all time.
Mm-hmm. It just bothers me how they manipulated the box office.
Yeah, but Avatar did the same thing.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, instead of letting it succeed on its own merits, you did some little dirty work in the background and, you know, got it to be where you wanted it financially.
And if it, now that Disney owns Fox and they own Avatar, I wouldn't put it up. I wouldn't put it. How do I say this? When the Avatar sequels finally come to the theater, I bet you dollars to donuts that they re-release Avatar.
Sure.
In the couple of weeks leading up to the sequels, so that people can watch the next one with it.
Yep.
And add that to their total, and then there'd be this running thing back and forth between them.
And then they'll start the marathons where, right. You know, after the first one's released, and so then you get Avatar and Avatar 2,
yep.
And then Avatar 3, and, you know.
Yep.
It becomes more about making money than it does making the film, and that's what bothers me.
Well, yeah. But that's just the way Hollywood is now. Gone are the days of that middle of the road movie that's like $50 to $60 million. They don't want to make those films because there's no money.
You can't do that anymore.
No.
Right.
So yeah. What else did you get excited about for Comic-Con?
There's a new Harley Quinn series coming on the DC channel.
Okay.
Animated, same style as the Bruce Timm version. Batman the Animated Series. Mm-hmm. Stars Kaley Cuoco as Harley, Alan Tudyk as the Joker, and Diedrich Bader as Batman.
Hasn't he been Batman before?
Diedrich Bader?
Yeah.
I don't know, but in the episode of Drew Carey that I saw the other day, he was Robin.
Oh, is that when he wins the...
Yes.
He wins the Batmobile?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love that one. That's the one where he's driving Mimi to work, and the top is off, and he stops at a stop sign and goes, "Hey, look, I caught the Joker."
Yes. Yes. Best line in that episode.
Yeah.
The trailer looks really funny.
Uh-huh.
So, I have high hopes for it.
Is this show geared towards kids, or is this show geared towards adults?
Well, they describe it as, what if Mary Tyler Moore was a killer?
Oh. Okay.
So, I think it's very intentional with over-the-top violence. There's going to be cursing. It's going to go back and be in the style of Kill Bill.
Okay.
A little bit, you know?
Okay. So, Diedrich Bader did the voice of Batman in Scooby-Doo and Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Oh, okay.
He was also the voice of Booster Gold in the Justice League Action Shorts TV series.
Hmm. Okay. Well, good for him.
Yeah. So, I have to ask this just because I want to hear what your take on this is. What did you think of the Cats trailer?
Okay, first of all, I think it's a movie that does not need to be made.
Right.
It's not going to translate to the film. It's a bunch of songs strung together. There's no real story in it. And I think the animation is pretty damn hideous. It's like you took one of those face swap apps.
Uh-huh.
And you took, like, Jennifer Hudson and a cat. And you swapped their faces.
It's really disconcerting. There's a shot where the cat, like, bends over up on one leg and puts the other leg up in the air, and the tail moves.
Yes, yes.
And it's just not right.
Yeah. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it.
Furries are going to love it.
Oh, of course. I mean, and when I saw it, and when I saw a little bit of the behind the scenes things, I thought, oh, it's going to be CGI, totally, because the cast was in kind of makeshift costume pieces and they weren't fully you know, in leotards or whatever.
Right.
So I thought, oh, so maybe they're just doing like a mocap kind of thing with these people. But no, they built these gigantic sets.
Yeah.
So that it looks like they're the size of cats.
Yep.
I'm just not looking forward to James Corden and Rebel Wilson in leotards.
I mean, okay, so why does Hollywood continue to try to make James Corden and Rebel Wilson happen?
Because James Corden as a talk show host can make or break a film.
Really?
Rebel Wilson, yes. People like James Corden and Andy Cohen over on Bravo, they're bitches with power.
Okay.
So I think that's what that's all about.
I just
as far as Rebel Wilson,
yeah.
I like some of her stuff, but her comedy is too broad for her to be taken seriously as an actress.
Okay.
It's very slapsticky. Here's the situation. I'm in a skinny dress that's too tight for me. Or did you ever see the sitcom she had?
No.
I can't ever remember. Up All Night or Something About the Night?
Super Fun Night?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it was her is kind of a, I don't even know what her job was in this company, but she had her own office. And there were episodes where, like, she'd be standing by the elevator and the elevator would catch the hem of her dress and rip it off and she'd be there in her Spanx. It's like, so what are you trying to say? I mean, it always bothers me when all these women are talking about harassment and stuff, but it's like, do you look what you how you presented yourself?
And it's always the same thing.
Sure.
With her. Every time that you see her, no matter what she's doing, the shots of her in Cats is the same shtick that she does when she's on the Graham Norton show.
Like, yep.
It's all just the same, and I don't get it. I don't get the appeal of her.
Yeah. I mean, she's kind of like the British version of Melissa McCarthy. Except Melissa McCarthy has shown that she can do serious drama.
Right, exactly.
Even though she still does the same thing in most every movie she does.
Right. I mean, if you look at Rebel Wilson's IMDb page, there's nothing on there that isn't the same slapstick crap.
Mm-hmm.
And
didn't she start with the group Little Britain?
I don't know.
Which was kind of a sort of sketch comedy Monty Python kind of thing.
I don't see that anywhere, but it okay. Totally could have.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, it looks like her first movie was something called Fat Pizza, where she played a character called Tula. The life at a suburban Sydney pizzeria is all that the tagline for that says.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, when I saw those two people, it was weird enough seeing is it Judi Dench that's in?
Yes.
Cats?
And Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen and Idris Elba is in it.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, those are weird enough. The Taylor Swift is in the movie and has like a not headlining, but like her name is way up on the credits list.
Sure.
For that. So I was like, okay, this is really weird. And then I started to watch it. And I started to shudder. And then I was like, oh God, that's James Corden. Oh God, that's Rebel Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they keep putting these people in these things?
Because they think they'll make money on it. People will flock to see Idris Elba sing as a cat. And the whole thing with the show is that, like I said, it's a string of songs just kind of mashed together.
Okay.
And each cat has their own feature number.
Oh, okay.
So Taylor Swift has a song, James Corden has a song, Jennifer Hudson has a song, Ian McKellen has a song, everybody's got a song.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah. I was almost expecting it to get the same backlash that Sonic the Hedgehog did. That all of a sudden they'd look at how horrible this thing was and try to fix it.
Yeah, well,
I don't think that's happening.
No. I mean, it's Toby Hooper. What he's going to take the stand of, look, I'm the guy that did Les Mis. I'm the guy that won all the Academy Awards. I know what's best for this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to get. But, I mean, it astounds me that James Corden has the acting career that he has.
Sure. Well, he did a lot of theater.
Right.
And that's kind of where he made his name. And then maybe was Into the Woods the first thing he really did in the U.S.? Or was that after the TV show started?
Do you know what year?
No.
TV show started? I remember first seeing him. He did a couple episodes of Doctor Who.
Okay.
Was the first time that I saw him. But it looks like the first American thing that he did might have been Planet 51 as a voice.
Okay.
And then go back to actor. I don't care what he's written. Then the 2011 version of The Three Musketeers.
Okay.
The one with Mila Jovovich. Jovovich?
Not the one with Kiefer Sutherland?
No.
Okay.
No. That was that was in the 90s.
Okay.
And then in 2014, he does Into the Woods.
Okay.
And I want to say that his show was going before that, because I kind of remember seeing a trailer of Into the Woods and seeing him and saying, isn't that guy with the talk show?
Okay, could be.
But then he does like Trolls and The Emoji Movie and Trolls Holiday and Peter Rabbit,
right,
and Ocean's Eight.
Yeah, I mean, because he's going to do the same things that Rebel Wilson does. This is what he's known for, being the funny fat guy
who
can sing, and that's it.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Yeah. I just, yeah. So, yeah, so I showed the kid the trailer to Cats, and she immediately goes, oh, we got to go see that. And I said, oh, we can't, because it comes out the same day that Star Wars comes out, and there has to be priorities in this house. So, sorry, you're just going to have to wait. That was a big shock to me, that there was no Star Wars presence movie-wise at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Well, I think they were saving it for D23.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that there were Lucasfilm was present at San Diego Comic-Con, but
yes,
like when they did the last two movies that they did, the Star Wars saga ones, Phantom Menace and Last Jedi, they both had a big San Diego Comic-Con thing, and I guess they're not doing that now. They've kind of left that to D23. A couple of the other things that I've kind of caught my attention was, if I can read my own handwriting, I'm really excited about The Witcher on Netflix.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
It feels like it's going to kind of take the place of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
The visual effects are really good in it, and you don't normally see that. I mean, Netflix has gotten better over their production life, of making things more cinematic, but I just think this kind of is the pinnacle for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really dug, for some reason, the Top Gun 2 trailer.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's a nostalgia thing, because like
that's
Top
what they're
Gun,
banking on.
Well, yeah, but Top Gun was a huge movie when I was a kid. It's one of those memories that I have of going to the theater with my father. We didn't go to the movies together all that much growing up, and there are a few times that we did, and Top Gun was definitely one of them.
Okay.
But I think what impresses me most about the trailer is the technology that has gotten to the point where you can put Tom Cruise in a real fighter jet and launch him off an aircraft carrier and have it look like he's flying the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Those interior cockpit shots, like, gave me goosebumps. And I really don't know why.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, as kooky and as crazy as Tom Cruise is in his real life, the movies that he does excite me every time that he's in one. I'm sure you didn't see the last Mission Impossible movie.
No.
So the one with Henry Cavill, but like, he learned to fly a helicopter, and then they strapped the camera onto the side of the helicopter so that you could see that he was flying it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did all the acrobatic stunts in the helicopter because it's important to him that he's entertaining people. And that kind of goes a long way with me for some reason. Like,
okay,
as kooky and as batshit crazy as he is about the god that lives in the volcano that's an alien, like, he makes really good entertainment.
Okay.
And he's made some really good, like, sci-fi recently, too. So, you know, I don't know if you ever saw Oblivion or... what was the other one where he keeps reliving the same day over and over? The Battle of the Aliens? No?
No.
It was originally called Live, Die, Repeat.
Okay.
And I can't think of it right now. So I was kind of jazzed about that. But I think the biggest thing that caught my attention, and I knew it was coming because it's been all over, like, sci-fi news stuff, was the full version trailer for Picard.
Yes.
So this is something that's been in turmoil for a long time. They announced that they were going to make a TV show about Jean-Luc Picard from Star Trek: The Next Generation. It wasn't at Comic-Con last year. It was at another show, where he came out and said, "Look, I'm going back to Star Trek." And there had been all these reports that they didn't start on time, and the production company was in trouble, and they weren't sure whether or not they were going to be able to shoot it, and it might get pushed back indefinitely. And then all this little stuff started to come out of, like, here's this the Starfleet uniforms, and here's him on set, and blah blah blah. And then they dropped this trailer, and I haven't been excited for Star Trek since probably Deep Space Nine ended in 97, 98, something like that. This makes me want to purchase CBS All Access.
Okay.
The look that they've gone with, Patrick Stewart's just an incredible actor, so it's not just that, but when they first announced that this was going to happen, the one thing that they kept saying was, don't expect to see other Star Trek people in it.
Right.
Like, here's a story about Picard, and it's Picard, and all you're going to see is Picard.
Right.
And then they show this trailer, and not only is Picard in it, but Seven and Nine from Star Trek Voyager and Data from Next Generation are both in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they did visual effects-wise to make Brent Spiner look like he hasn't aged.
Yep.
But they have outdone themselves.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Frakes is also supposed to be in it, and Marina Sirtis.
Jonathan Frakes, I know, directed a couple episodes.
Okay.
But now it's kind of up in the air. Now it's like anybody can come back at this point.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I kind of thought there's a couple of lines in there that sounded like Marina Sirtis, where I was like, okay, they don't show her, but that doesn't mean she's not going to be in it.
Right.
So I am super jazzed about this.
Nice.
I knew that all the Marvel stuff was going to show up, and I was like, oh, okay. And then they released the Picard thing, and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait. This is going to be fucking awesome.
Yep.
On the other flip side of that, the thing that made me shake my head the most was the Jay and Silent Bob reboot trailer.
Yeah.
There comes a time when you have to let things go.
Tell George Lucas that.
But George Lucas is a visionary director.
Kevin Smith's not?
No.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen Yoga Hosers?
Well, so much for getting him on the show.
Yeah, like he'd ever come on this podcast.
I do believe there was a tweet or something where somebody said they were excited for the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, but stop trying to force us to like your daughter. She's horrible.
I mean, okay, I understand, like, she wants to be an actress. You're a film director. Cool, put her in the background somewhere.
Yep.
But don't give her a major part. And, you know, it doesn't help that his wife and Jay's wife are executive producers on the movie.
Right.
And they've gotten all these people to come back. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Joe Manganiello is in it. And who else was in that trailer? Jason Lee is in it again. And
yep.
Rosario Dawson. And, like, it's just a who's who of U.S. Universe people. And I don't know. Like, is there really any more to say? I know he's harping on the idea of people rebooting things and that this is a reboot of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they show the close-up shot of Blunt Man taking off his mask and it's Val Kilmer, who looks like death warmed over with the mouth cancer, it's like, yeah, you should have gotten Mark Hamill back.
Yeah.
Like, that should have who should have been your Blunt Man. But, like, Jesus, dude. I don't know. It looks a little painful.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not a movie I'm going to see at any point.
Well, I may see it. I'm not going to see it in the theater for sure. That might be like a Redbox dollar rental.
Okay.
Just because at one point I was a big Kevin Smith fan, and I kind of want to see. I'm morbidly interested in the story.
Okay.
But I never thought Jason Mewes was a great actor, and
well, he's not.
We're gonna have to sit through the kid acting, and I don't know.
It's gonna be a cameo movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Where it's like, oh, did you see that? Did you see that? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see
it going on to any acclaim.
No, but that's not what it's for either. That's just, I honestly feel like, and if I got to hear about his fucking heart attack one more time in an interview, like, he made the statement that, like, after the heart attack, I was thinking about it and if I had died that day, Yoga Hosers would have been my last film, and that would have depressed me, so I'm going to make something that I love. So if the heart attack comes back and kills me, that this will be what I die on. And it's like, okay.
Really?
Okay. Kevin Smith has always tried to hitch his wagon to something that, quote-unquote, everybody can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point it was the Viewisk universe, and then he did all those weird fucked up horror films.
Yep.
And at one point he was going to stop making films and just do podcasts, and when there wasn't enough money in that, he went back to movies, and now we're getting more Viewisk universe crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if that's your one trick pony thing, and I ended up watching that trailer off of his like personal YouTube page.
Okay.
And there was a little added thing on the end of him and Jason Mewes. I guess they're going to take the movie around personally.
Yes.
And do like road shows with it.
Mm-hmm. And the I think it'll be similar to the things he does at colleges.
Right. But the whole thing was because we need your money, man. We want your money. So come out and bring this. I appreciate him being upfront about that. But you know how fast that turns me off of like wanting to support what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because then he turns around and he calls the things that he does art. And it's like the movies you make are not art.
Right.
Nobody is in college dissecting Clerks. Well, maybe Clerks, but they're not dissecting fucking Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Sure.
And they're sure as hell not going to pick apart the film that he did where the dude turns into a walrus.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck? It's not art. They're fucking entertainment movies. You're not an artist. You're a director of mediocre entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as never having made a film before, but goddamn if I'm not perfect.
All right, then.
So. The other things that kind of caught my attention was the Westworld trailer.
Nazis.
Which I guess, you know, they like to go with like what's happening in the present. So
I guess
why wouldn't you do Nazis?
If this is a big fantasy payoff and people are paying to come here and live out their fantasies, is World War II really that popular? You know, because one was like you go back to the British Raj in India. That's like, right. That's kind of cool. It's romanticized, you know, the Wild West, the mm-hmm. land of the samurai. Okay, I can see those as being destinations people may want to go to. But Nazi Europe?
Well, I mean, look.
Really?
Everybody thought the Nazis weren't a big thing anymore until 2016, so.
Then what happened?
Then we got a president that was kind of a racist douchebag and let white supremacists like have a say in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're looking at that and saying, you know what? I bet you there was a whole group of people that would pay a ton of money to be dressed up as fucking Nazis and kill Jewish people or fight the Americans.
I'm sure it would.
I mean, we've come to find out that there are people with money that have white supremacist views and views that line up with Nazis. And I got that when I saw that. I was like, okay, they're now shooting for the lowest common denominator of like Westworld's one thing, but like Nazi world is going to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. The Watchmen trailer.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the fence about.
Yeah, I'm not a Watchmen fan, so I can take it or leave it.
Yeah, I liked the movie okay, but it's not one of my favorite like superhero films.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it's not. First of all, it's not like a light watch. It's not something that you can just turn on and have running in the background. It's like two and a half hours of like pretty intense shit. There's also like. You shouldn't really watch it around kids either, because there's a pretty heavy duty sex scene in the center of it where you're like, ooh, okay. So I'm interested kind of to see what they do with that, but it's not something I'm going to seek out necessarily, unless somebody was like, oh my god, you got to see this show. I thought the trailer for the last season of Arrow was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and some of the news between Arrow and the whole Crisis on Infinite Earth crossover is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That Burt Ward, the original Robin, is going to feature in the Batwoman episode of the crossover.
Okay.
I wonder if he's going to play old Dick Grayson at this point.
I mean, look, they're bringing back Brandon Routh as Superman.
Well, that was the other thing.
Which... he's already playing a character in the DC television universe, of the Atom. So,
well, and I think part of the thing with the crossover is that they swap personas.
Okay.
Because there's the footage of Grant Gustin in Arrow's costume.
That was last season. That was last season's crossover. Yep.
Did I miss it?
You might have.
Mustn't have been that good. I don't remember it. Okay, then never mind.
But what they were talking about was, I guess, they're traveling to multi-Earths to recruit heroes for the fight against the Anti-Monitor.
Okay.
Or the Monitor, whatever the big threat is that's coming. So when they go to these worlds, the Superman on that world, and they described it as the Kingdom Come Superman from the comics.
Yes, from the comics.
And that's what Brandon Routh was going to be playing.
But the Kingdom Come Superman is much older.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you put Brandon Routh next to the guy that's Superman
on Supergirl. Yeah.
He's quite a bit older.
Okay. But they're not going to be playing the same character. They're going to be different versions of Superman.
Yes. Yep. They're going to be different Earth Supermans. Kind of like, so last year, since it wasn't very memorable for you, there was a scene where they brought back the Flash, but the Flash was the 90s TV show version.
Okay.
Played by John Wesley Shipp.
Yep.
And so you had Grant Gustin standing on one side and him on the other, both in Flash outfits. So I kind of feel like it's going to be kind of the same thing, that they're setting up that there are Earths where their Superman exists, but it's not quite the same Superman.
Right.
So I kind of feel like that's going to be the thing. You know, the Burt Ward thing is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that in that trailer, it was kind of interesting that they're doing the greatest hits of Arrow. Because they're bringing back Tommy Merlin, and John Barrowman was seen on set in the last couple of weeks, and he's going back as Malcolm Merlin, and they're bringing back Prometheus, and they're bringing back like all these people of like as Oliver is traveling to these different Earths, he's running into these people that have died on this Earth. And he's
right.
Having to deal with that in the lead up to the big crossover.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it could be interesting. Hopefully the show producer had said, we understand what a monumental task this is after people complained about Game of Thrones and Lost and all these big shows that didn't have satisfying conclusions. That they kind of want to go out on top with something that's going to satisfy anybody who's watched over the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Right. And then how do you feel about the Orville going over to Hulu next season?
I think that's an interesting decision.
Mm-hmm.
I only read the headline, so I don't know the story behind it. Is that something that they wanted?
So what I could gather was it was getting too big for Fox.
Okay.
Because of the special effects and the makeup and all that stuff.
Okay.
And apparently Hulu will allow them to do it on a Star Wars type scale.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Okay. I'm also wondering because they're going on Hulu, whether or not that's going to be less restrictive for them, like language wise.
Could be.
You know, because there's stuff on Hulu where people curse all the time.
Right.
So I'm wondering whether or not. I mean. I don't know, at this point, I kind of feel like they'd keep it the same way. They might throw in shits and damns and shit like that, but they're not going to say fuck in every episode.
Sure.
Because they want to keep their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
in a move like that, because people aren't going to be able to just see it wherever. But I guess it also has opened up the possibility of doing Orville movies.
That's something that Seth MacFarlane wants to do.
Yeah, and that, like, if you can do all that under one umbrella,
sure,
and you don't have to go very far and be like, hey, what if we did these movies that you could play here, here, and here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be amazing.
Yeah, of course, that's one more platform you have to add to your monthly costs.
Well, I mean, so way back when Disney had announced the Disney Plus thing and that they were going to have major control over Hulu at the time, they had talked about a bundle.
Yeah. I mean, we can only hope.
That for, what's Disney Plus, $6.95 a month?
Is that what they said?
The first
that sounds
year?
About right, yeah.
So, okay, for $10 you also get Hulu. Like, as a package, so you're paying $6.95, because they dropped the price of Hulu recently. I think it's only like $4.95 or something a month that I pay for the one with the ads. So like if they did a package where, hey, you can get Hulu and Disney Plus for $10 a month, or for $12 a month you can get that, those two, and ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people would probably go for that because you're only paying one price instead of three, and you're getting whatever the content is that you want. It's when all this other shit's going to happen. Like, NBC has announced a new streaming service,
right,
where they pulled The Office off of Netflix to put it on their own streaming thing. And it's like, the networks need to understand that that's not going to work.
Right.
Unless they're doing things specifically for the streaming channel, the streaming services are not going to be worth anything. I mean, Netflix just lost, what was it, $17 billion worth of value in a day because they talked about how they lost subscribers?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fucking crazy. And CBS has had issues with their Star Trek shows. DC has had issues with their streaming service because they're trying to fund these things, but they can't.
Right.
And they're having to go to outside sources to, like, distribute stuff. And, like, everywhere else in the world, you get DC TV shows on Netflix. Because Netflix outside of the U.S. said, yeah, we'll take them. We'll give you money for these.
Mm.
And they just announced there's going to be a new HBO streaming service that yesterday at San Diego Comic-Con, they announced that Doom Patrol was getting a second season and that they will air simultaneously not only on the DC streaming service, but also that new HBO one, because HBO gave them money for the rights to air it at the same time.
Right.
So you're going to see a lot of that shit too. But I think what's going to end up happening with that is when you purchase the new HBO streaming service, you're also going to get the DC streaming service on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be an add-on. So, yeah, there's a lot of shit going on for that.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix is going to have the new Dark Crystal series. It's getting hard to choose.
Looks phenomenal.
It looks amazing. And the cast is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Hamill, Helena Bonham Carter, Taron Egerton, Keegan-Michael Key, Andy Samberg, Simon Pegg.
Yeah, it's a who's who for that.
Yeah. And they, you know, it's a combination of CG and puppets.
Right.
Right?
I think so.
So, yeah, I mean, it looks beautiful from what I've seen. I can't wait to see it. Starts airing on August 30th.
I kind of feel like at this point, the major streaming services that's going to come out of this is Netflix, Disney Plus, and Hulu are going to be the three that survive the the streaming wars. I think Netflix made a pretty smart decision a couple of years ago when they decided that they were going to double down on the production of their own TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they subsidize other shows from other services that end up on their platform anyway. You know, everybody bitched and moaned when they announced that Netflix was going to lose all the Disney stuff when Disney Plus...
Uh-oh.
What? You there? Uh-oh. You there? John? John? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
You disappeared for a minute.
Oh, okay. So... I was just saying that I feel like Netflix, Hulu, and Disney Plus is going to survive this war.
Mm-hmm.
Simply for the fact that everybody's going to get Disney Plus. Like, if you are a pop culture fan living in this day and age, they're going to have something for you to watch.
Mm-hmm.
If you like new television shows that kind of push the limits, you're going to watch Netflix. And Hulu is kind of all the leftover stuff.
Right.
I don't think that this Apple streaming service is going to work. I don't think that the network TV streaming crap is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like at the end of the day, you're going to have those three big entities vying for your money.
What do you think of Amazon?
I mean,
they've last season of Man in the High Tower. They've got a new show called Carnival Row with mm-hmm. Orlando Broom.
Okay.
That looks interesting. It's kind they're describing it as fantasy noir. So it's a murder mystery, but it's about magical creatures who were immigrants in Victorian times. I don't know. It looks interesting to me. They just had Good Omens.
Right, and I think the thing with Amazon is, they were smart enough to be like, hey, this is included if you want to do the Amazon Prime shipping thing.
Yes.
Like, if you're buying enough things on Amazon to where you want free two-day shipping, we're going to throw in all this entertainment for you for free. And, you know, who doesn't want free shipping? So, like, I think it's $10 a month or whatever to be a Prime member, so why wouldn't you do that and then get all this on top of it?
Sure.
So they were smart when they did that, but all the ones that are just purely entertainment, they're not all going to last. So what did you think of the Walking Dead trailer?
Like I said before, I enjoyed the show, yeah, but I'm done with it. You know, Michonne is leaving the series this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the first movie with Rick and the helicopter people, which is not the, what's it called, the Commonwealth.
Right.
So, more power to them. I think that's great, but I'm out. I'm out.
I have this morbid curiosity of where they're going to take this story. Mm-hmm. The show hasn't been the same since Rick left.
Right.
And I kind of feel like did you watch the trailer to the very end? Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah, I did.
So there's a shot at the very, very end of Michonne dressed as Negan with the baseball bat.
Yeah.
And I'm scratching my head like, this has got to be like a dream sequence. Like, she's got to, like, I just can kind of read it right now that she's going to be having these things where she's having all these visions of, like, what she's turning into.
Mm-hmm.
And that she feels like she's turning into Negan, and that's what that's going to be from. Because there's no way that they turn her into a killer before they get rid of her.
But hopefully not. Hopefully. I mean, I think kind of what my biggest fear for the series is that Negan becomes a hero.
Well, it's turning that way.
So it's like, okay, so he's becoming kind of a decent citizen in Alexandria, and You know, is he changed or is he playing everybody?
Well, I mean, there was all that,
that stuff last season
where where he was saving Judith and he comes back to them because there's nothing out there for him. And
right.
You know, they want to do a redemption story and it's just like, no, he like killed your favorite characters with a baseball bat.
Sure.
Like at some point you just got to like fucking let him go. But they don't have the star power anymore.
Not at all.
They're losing all the important people. There's talk about Norman Reedus jumping ship to go do the movies.
Right.
And, you know, he's not that interesting a character anyway to carry this show without Rick. So, I don't know. I know that they're pushing not only, like, this show's going to run forever, but also that they're going to be filming a third TV show.
Yep.
About kids being raised in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And just enough, man.
Look at the flowers.
You can't handle the two shows well that you've got going right now.
Right. So you're going to do another one and movies.
Yeah.
And at some point, one of them is going to have to take precedent.
Yeah.
So what do you throw away?
I think at some point you kind of combined the best of everything.
Sure.
Like if there are standout characters, and I don't know because I don't watch the show, on Fear of the Walking Dead, then maybe they make their way back.
That's the problem. There aren't. They killed everybody off last season. Was the last season where they added the woman with the big monster truck who's taking videos of everybody, because miraculously she's still able to recharge her batteries in her camcorder.
Yeah, I mean that's the Star-Lord situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean they killed off most everybody from the original Walking Dead series. not Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead series. You know, there's one or two characters who keep surviving, but for the most part, they can't find what's supposed to make it click, I think, is what the issue is.
Right.
You're looking for one thing that's going to catch fire, and you can't find it yet.
Right. And they're now across multiple shows where you're like, okay, you just got to decide what the fuck you're going to do here.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's weird. All right, you got anything else for this week? Anything else that caught your interest?
No.
No?
I think that's it.
Okay. All right, well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Stay cool.